Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 95 of the Car Wash. On today's show, Kekana and Sundowns shake hands, Billiatt retires from international football, and Bafana robbed. Whether you're tuning in on SL Podcast at CL.za, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Play, or MachiKing 96.7 Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Roberts, and of course, my good friend, Teko Madise. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, and you, Sean?
Good. How was your week?
A little bit hectic, but I'm surviving.
Okay, good to hear, my boy. But just yeah, man. I know it's sad, so I'm going to cheer you up with a joke of the day. What do you call a made-up color? A pigment of your imagination.
Sean, do you test these jokes on somebody first?
I don't, bro.
Okay,
you are my little bitch when it comes to these.
I can tell.
Righty, from there we move on to pole position. Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans at our supporters club certain questions and get voice notes replied. This week we asked you guys what went wrong for Bafana and what could have been better, and this is what you guys had to say.
They did try their levelest until the referee decided to award that fake penalty. They did apply themselves very, very well. Had luck after we were being robbed.
Poor referee was not on our side. Banda Lille won. They sent Zama Air Force, but referee was not on their side.
The blame should be put on the mesh officials that they were officiating the game on the day, because that goal that was scored by Ghana, that penalty, it was not clearly a goal.
We are very disappointed. At the same time, I would like to say sorry to Bafana. They're trying all means to show the country how anger to playing for World Cup.
Unfortunately, it's very overwhelming for Bafana. Through the way they played and on group stages. But like, for me, I'm not surprised, really. They didn't show enthusiasm, these guys. Yes, they did win, but like, they were not willing to score more goals, whereby like it will give us advantage on coming goal difference.
And that was not a penalty. Yes, it's the end of the road to Qatar. Fine. I don't blame the coach. I don't blame the players.
Wait, our lineup was not okay. Because I don't understand what coach told on the bench because this pack was playing at the middle of Bafana.
I'm speechless. I don't know what happened. The boys were nervous, but they fought. So how the referee end up changing the complexion of the match in favor of Ghana and award them a penalty, which is not even a penalty, I don't know. But we leave that to Kev, because they're not going to do anything about it. But if it was South Africa winning like that, believe you me, we were going to replay that match. Let's recap, if you still remember the Senegal game. But because it's South Africa, no one likes us in Africa, so nothing will happen.
I think the coach's tactics failed on the night. They decimally failed completely, because the coach should have realized that first half, our players were not there. They were not combining.
The boys and the coach, they performed well. I think because coach, it was his first game for the qualifier for the World Cup. It's bad luck.
I think it was hardly done and it was unfair to the boys. I think they played their heart out. I've watched the game and yes, I saw the penalty. I think it was just a soft penalty. I think it was rehearsed. I think the Ghanaian players, they are very intelligent. They've shown that these boys of Bafana, they will do anything to make sure that they get a draw. They did anything to buy the referee. You know, the referees are bought by players' action.
For this subject, we're joined with Liam Becker, our correspondent from Kickoff. How are you, Liam?
Morning, Sean. All good this side. How are you doing?
Yeah, magic. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining us with this. It's, what do I say? I mean, we've heard what the fans have had to say. I honestly believe we're completely robbed. Teko, we obviously were. There's so much going on behind the scenes, which I'm sure Liam's going to fill us in. Teko, just quickly, your take on the game. put aside the penalty shots, obviously put aside the bad decisions by the referee in terms of our performance, an improvement, or were we just completely robbed and we should have progressed?
Look, Sean, looking at the decision from the referees and all that stuff, if you have to put that away on the side, we didn't perform really, really well. I wasn't convinced at all. Because
yeah.
I felt like from the first minute, Ghana showed the intention of what they're trying to do. They pressed us so high. They made us play uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized the experience on the pitch wasn't there from Bafana Bafana, because the players that were supposed to help us play, you know, have that courage and that character, they were not there. And mm-hmm. and I remember we spoke about, you know, having a proper balance within the national teams in terms of experience.
Yeah.
And that's when it actually showed. Yes, the referee played a huge part in it. Yes, Ghana didn't outplay us, but Ghana didn't allow us to play. Ghana created chances and they created a situation that looked a little bit more dangerous. And I think as well, you know, coming back to what actually happened, I think this at this stage, without any doubt, I think this at this stage has showed us that with this type of games in the continent, we actually do need VAR. Because if we don't necessarily get that VAR option, this is exactly what's going to happen all the time. Because also you need to remember as well, we might speculate and say that maybe something is dodgy, maybe the referee, you know, all that type of stuff. But also look at how much they're getting paid. If we in South Africa, we say we're one of the best leagues in the continent, we underpaying our referees. Can you imagine what happens in Africa as well?
Yeah.
So now we're gonna condemn the referee, we're gonna suspend the referee, whatever the case might be. Maybe the game might not be played again, or the game maybe let's say replay. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the referee changes or the referee becomes better.
Mm.
Look at all the teams that are playing in CAF. But never mind, Sarah, never mind Bafana Bafana with the qualifier, World Cup qualifier. Because those are the same referees that you meet when you're playing CAF. They're still doing the same thing. So there's a lot of change that needs to be done. So I don't think just on the Bafana game, I think there's highlighted so many things that are wrong with CAF.
Yeah, just to touch on that quickly before we ask Liam for his opinion, I stand to be corrected. Maybe Liam, you can help me here. But I think the Champions League CAF final for the women's, where Sundowns are playing, there's going to be VAR involved in that. So if they can do it at that level, there's no disrespect to any woman team out there, but not for a World Cup qualifier, that there's serious questions to be asked there.
Absolutely. I think just when you look at what's at stake, is especially in the World Cup qualifiers, you know, the amount of money that's involved in the long run, the amount of prestige that comes with qualifying for a World Cup, it's ridiculous that VAR wasn't involved. And you know, of all the confederations, it was only CAF and CONCACAF that didn't have it. So as you say, there's definitely question marks about that, and going forward, it's something that needs to be implemented.
And so just for listeners out there, what is actually happening behind the scenes? We know that SAFA has lodged a complaint. We know that FIFA has come back with a reply. So in a nutshell, what's happening and what's the next step and what are the possible outcomes?
Yeah, so straight after the game on Sunday, South Africa immediately lodged a complaint against the match officials. That complaint was noted and recorded in the match commissioner's report. And then obviously there's been a lot of speculation in the media over the week, a lot of talk what's going to happen. And then the big presser on Wednesday, and FIFA have now confirmed that they've received that complaint. They've given a formal sort of acknowledgement of that complaint. And from there, they've now given both Ghana and South Africa time to submit further comment, further documentation in respect of this sort of protest against Mageddon Dia, who was the referee. And they've given Ghana until the 20th, which is this weekend, to submit those documents. From there, on the 23rd, they will then be taking the matter forward for consideration. And obviously, we don't have any time periods after that yet. We don't know how lengthy that process will be. But from there, they'll then make a decision. And in South Africa's case, best case scenario, and the scenario that we are hoping for, is that the match will be replayed. But that sets a very dangerous precedent. So I don't think it's something FIFA will take lightly, but that's the outcome we're hoping to achieve.
In terms of the match being replayed, there's obviously two parties involved here, right? This is if Ghana gets, or the referee gets a guilty verdict or whatever. surely it's not a replay. Surely the 3 points should go to South Africa, because surely there is someone part of the Ghanaian Football Association involved in this, as well as the referee.
Well, if that allegation is made, then I think you're right. I think for sure then Ghana should be stripped of the 3 points. But then I think it comes down to a case of what can be proved. You know, if there's a direct link with the Ghanaians, and I'm not sure if that accusation is being made yet or if it's just being leveled at the match officials. And if only the match official is involved. I mean, we know it's not that simple, but it's a case of what can be proven. Then I imagine the outcome would be the replay, as was the case in 2016 between Senegal and South Africa, where that match official in that case was found to have influenced the game unlawfully, illegally. And then that match was replayed. Obviously, there was no fault on South Africa's part, and then we weren't stripped of it. When they handed the points, the match had to be replayed. And I imagine in this case, that's what we're hoping for, more so than just a reversal of the points.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And Teko, Danny Jordan went on, I think it was Danny Jordan, went on record saying that during a certain period of that game, there was a spike in sports bets going towards that game in terms of penalty being awarded. I mean, isn't that enough evidence in itself?
Yeah, but Sean, also we need to be careful as well, because at the time, you know, after what happened, I think there's a lot of emotion that went through, and with those, a lot of speculations as well. I think they're gonna end up diluting what the truth is. So for me, I would wait for FIFA to take that decision and to tell us exactly what's happening if they see something dodgy on that penalty call. Not only on that penalty call, there's a lot of calls as well that actually could have affected the game differently. But also on that as well is as a person that is in charge of association, you also need to say, we've lodged a complaint to FIFA, we're still waiting for FIFA to come back. When you come back and tell us about the spike of, so now you're diluting all these things. So now you look like now we're making all the excuses of not to win the game. And with that said, like I said, I come back to that. I said, besides those challenges that of the referee actually showed, Bafana was not great on the day. We didn't look like we wanted to win. Even if we did win, I'm not anti Bafana, but even if we did win, do we have enough firepower to actually make it? You're expecting all the big guys, all the guys that are supposed to help us in terms of Bafana, come show up in such big games. Don't show up against Lesotho and Swaziland when you play here. And then when we play big games like Ghana, where we're supposed to show the character, we don't show. This is a World Cup qualifier. We just need a draw to actually, you know, being one of the best group, one of the best teams in the continent to actually, you know, set ourselves to qualify. But we couldn't play under stress. You look at the younger boys. Okay, we the same country that are going to come back and say, but the young boys inexperienced. But when we spoke about experience that's needed in the team, we said, no, let's give others a chance. So we need to find the right balance to exactly what is it that we want. Yes, I hope that the game can be replayed again, because I think with that game on its own, there's a lot of stuff that the boys have learned, and there's a lot of stuff that they can do actually right on the day.
Yeah, that's well put, Teko. In essence, you know, whichever way this decision goes, whether it goes our way at the end of the day, we'd potentially still have to beat a powerhouse of a team in Ghana. And
yes, sir.
Look that enticing the other night. So, in essence, still Bafana, a lot of work to do in terms of performance, a lot of work to do in terms of squad selection, in terms of the balance, like we've spoken about, Tech, of senior players and players coming through, which we haven't seen, right? So,
because Sean, for me is you as a national team coach that wants to qualify to the World Cup. And you came in and you had a short period of time to actually qualify. So you'd want to qualify the quickest way possible. Even though you've got a 5-year plan on trying to implement certain things within your team. So therefore, I'll start picking the best performing players in the league at that time.
Sure.
And you look at what the squad is right now. Who's the best performing player in the league that was playing on against Ghana?
Are you posing that question to me?
I'm posing the question to you,
probably the captain. I think Ronan's probably been the most consistent.
Yes, you're talking about, now you're talking about consistent. He's been consistent for years. I'm talking the best performing, the person that is on form right now, that was in the Bafana starting lineup.
You tell me.
For the fact that you're taking so long, it raises questions. But I'm just saying that you need to find a balance in the best performing players and the players that are supposed to be, that you're building up, you're trying to build a team around for the future in Bafana. Then you find that proper balance. Because now if you have the whole inexperienced team, because you also talk about Rowan Williams, he's got like, what, 12, 15 caps. And you count those 15 caps, it's far in between after 10 years of being in the PSL. So we don't have enough experience within the team. And he's a goalkeeper. Even if he does have experience, he's back there. You need experience in the field of play. You need experience in the midfield. You need experience in the defense. And you didn't have that. So when stress comes through, nobody's there to calm things down. Look at the type of fouls that we're conceding.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, we could go on for hours in this, and we have in previous podcasts. But yeah, Becca, thank you so much for your time, bud, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon.
Always a pleasure.
Let's move on to something a little bit more, it's
less stressful.
It's less stressful, but also quite sad. Mamelodi Sundowns have announced that they have amicably parted ways with long-serving midfielder Kwampo Kekana. Kekana served Sundowns for 10 years after joining them from Bloemfontein Celtic in 2011 and now leaves as a club legend, having won 6 league titles with the Shwane Giants. Teko, I'm not too sure how to take this. I was under the impression, and you probably know from being on the inside there, that he would probably stay on it as an ambassadorial role of some sort, but he still feels he can play. He still feels he's got a couple of seasons left in those legs of his. Whether that door is open for him again in the years to come at Sundowns, time will tell. It's nice to see that there was some sort of golden handshake as well. How do you feel about this? I mean, he's served so well, and like we've spoken about this in the past, like if you feel you've still got some time in your legs, you've still got to play. You don't want to live in regret past your career. So, has this come as a surprise to you?
No, Sean, it hasn't. Look, me and Hlompho actually had conversations which I can't share now. But we actually had conversations way before this thing was announced. Mm-hmm. And with that said, I think it was in off season. And with that said, it's when it came out in the news, it wasn't a shock to me, it wasn't a surprise at all. This is a guy that still wants to play. He still feels he's got the legs. He still wants to achieve so much, and he's at the type of feeling where I was. Remember when I went to Cape Town City? This, you still want to play. You still want to enjoy the game. There's certain things that you still want to touch, or you still want to you still want to fulfill. And I feel like with that, as Mamelodi Sundowns, we not only obligated. I mean, this is the guy that actually was, as I think, he's the most decorated captain in the country, and we, it's a responsibility and a duty for Sundowns to allow such to fulfill their dreams, you know. And I think whenever he decides to come back into the team, I think that's the conversation that he can have with the club, or maybe that's the conversation that already being had. But yet again, it's only fair as Mamelodi Sundowns to allow Hlompho to be, because he has served the team with distinctions, and we as a club, I think that we are the position where actually we can be so grateful of his services. We can be grateful of his professionalism, the way he led the team to he contributed so much to what the team looks like and what the team is today, because he really, 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 really played well and led the team very well. So now that if he still wants to continue somewhere else, I highly doubt that the door will be closed for him when he comes back. Look, I went away. I never served the team that Hlompho, the way Hlompho did, and I was able to come back and be able to be in a different space within the team, because I think there's a lot of experience that Hlompho can bring back into the team and help the younger ones, because at the club right now, there's a lot of new faces, there's a lot of young players that still need to understand and have the DNA of the club. And I think with what Hlompho has, he's the person actually that has that in his DNA. So whatever he decided, I think for us, we should be standing on the side and applaud whatever decision that he takes and take it from there.
Yeah, that's very well put. You can't discount the fact of what he has brought to the change room at Early Sundowns. He's obviously one of the nicest guys I've met in football in general.
That'll nicest guy that'll kick you.
Yeah.
That'll fucking kick you. That guy.
Outside the pitch, probably the nicest guy.
Yeah, I know he is.
But he does have one regret, though. He, I quote, unquote, I just want to thank you guys for winning that trophy, because in my tenure at Mamelodi Sundowns, I've been trying to fish that trophy and couldn't find it. I don't know where the coach has got that luck from, because I need that in my cabinet. That is the only trophy that I'm missing. He's obviously talking about the MTN Cup, MTN 8 Cup, which Sundowns just won. So, you know, how many trophies was it that he won in this place?
I think he won 8, 12. 12
trophies in 10 years.
Yeah.
To think he never got an MTN 8, it's hard to believe. But thank you, Klompo. We are indebted to you, as Teko has quite elegantly put. Let's move on as well to another bizarre story, Teko. And I'm really looking forward to getting your opinion on this.
From where? Your favorite team?
No, bro. This is Karma Biliat making his international career done and dusted. I don't quite understand this. He's only 31 years old.
Yeah.
He is a household name, not just in South Africa, but his native country, Zimbabwe. I don't know if you've seen this, Teko. Later on that day, I'm going to read you something from the news. Zimbabwe's participation in next January's Africa Cup of Nations finals was put in jeopardy on Tuesday as the country's Sports and Recreation Commission suspended the Board of Football Association of Zimbabwe. The announcement was made without an explanation. So something has happened, I think, behind the scenes, which has made Karma retire early from international football, because you would not be doing that at 31 years old.
No, of course, Sean. I mean, look, let's put this into context. This is Zimbabwe playing they qualified for AFCON for January, easily so, comfortable. Now they're in the World Cup qualifier. They finished bottom of the log with no wins at all. Now, during the World Cup qualifiers, after they've qualified for AFCON, they sacked their coach, if you remember very well.
I do, yeah.
Yes. So now, after sacking their coach, now, all of a sudden, now after their last game of the qualifier, because he didn't want to disrupt the team, their captain, their most talented, their most decorated player in the squad is retiring, which is Karma Biliat. Like you said, I think, and I think also coming back, I think if I remember very well, they were kicked out of World Cup qualifiers, I think in 2018 or something. I'm not too sure. Maybe Aiden would check the facts for an outstanding debt to a former coach. So there's always been something that is very wrong with Zifa. And it comes back again. I think it's repeating itself. If you remember as well, there were accusations of players taking bribes years ago. So there's always problem with Zimbabwean Football Association. So now that you qualify for AFCON, they're also running a risk of being suspended or being kicked out again. And now with that said, as a federation, you're standing or you're disrupting the flow of not only the national team, but these youngsters that are in a disadvantaged backgrounds that only has this God-given talent to help them, you know, put food on the table for their families. And the only way to do that, they need to get exposed. But you doing your own thing. So for me, there's something wrong. There's something that is very, very, very wrong there. But I just hope that, you know, whatever that is, they can sort it out so that Karma can come back and play, because he's actually needed in that team.
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly. And you put it so well, Teko. It's not just about Karma leaving. There's a whole generation of footballers look up to a player of Karma's talent and ability. But I also think there needs to be some sort of responsibility when you reach a certain level that you can't really make a call that big. I mean, obviously it's your life, it's your decisions, but there's so many people resting on your ability in your country, like we just discussed about
youngsters
coming through. And I think Neymar also had a moment, didn't he?
But he said he was misunderstood. But I think Sean, coming back to this to this trend that for me personally I don't approve of and I don't like. I don't like people retiring on social media. You know, like there's put some dignity into it.
With a letter that clearly wasn't written by him.
Yeah, no, come on. If that letter, send the letter to the people that are supposed to, because now the people that are supposed to see it, they're only seeing it on social media like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, like we know, like at the end of the day, my bro, don't brain the bitch. I just think that there's a lot of things that needs to be done professionally. So, and once Zimbabwe, let Zimbabwean football national team be the ones that comes out and say, our captain has sent us a letter of retirement, blah, blah, blah. And then you take it from there. Because for me, I don't feel, because there's this trend going on. People are too quick to, because now it's very emotional. Because I feel like if you actually do write the letter to the people that you're supposed to, there's going to be a conversation that's going to be held. So therefore, the chances are you might even change your mind. But this thing of Instagram, tweet, and what, it's a trend. And also Neymar was in shit because of that. Yes. So I think players need to be very careful as to what exactly that they want to write in there, because not only they feel like they're exhausted, like you said, they're representing a generation that comes after them. So there's a lot of people that are looking up to them. So with them being just emotional and writing things up, I mean, it affects so many people, not only just them.
Yeah, you said something quite profound there, Tekle. Don't burn your bridges. And it's something that I've very clear on in my career. I may not have got along with all the coaches or all the players, but I've always left on good terms.
Yeah.
Because football is such a small game, such a small fraternity, that we're going to need each other once again one day. So
that's true.
Yeah. So let's see what happens. Let's watch this story quite closely. Again, let's move on to a story that I think came as a bit of shock at when it actually happened, and that's in terms of Kevin Johnson when he left Al Ahly. He has come out and spoken about it, and he says, quote unquote, "Sometimes a strong relationship comes to an end, and that is what happened. If a chance avails itself, I would happily return to Al Ahly. My time at Al Ahly was wonderful. I worked with a professional team and it added to my experience. Al Ahly is an African icon. I couldn't agree more." Do you think he's talking about when he said sometimes a strong relationship comes to an end? Is that the relationship with him in Pizza or a relationship with him in Al Ahly?
I just feel like you could have explained exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because now we in the in between as to now we're trying to speculate and trying to figure out because he was called in by Peter himself.
Right.
And then when he say when the relationship is strong, and then hey, Kevin Johnson, stop playing games. Please tell us exactly. If you're not gonna tell us, don't share at all. But I feel strongly no, it mustn't. I mean, now we end up saying wrong things now because we don't know what the truth is. Exactly. But I just hope that one day he'll come out and say it. But if he doesn't say it as well, but I think it's one experience that he'll never get rid of. I think that's one thing that is he added on his CV that actually took his coaching to an next level. And I think it's probably maybe he's one of the coaches that is in demand right now. And and I think he's under pressure to go to any team that he can deliver, but he's also under pressure to make those changes, to implement the all the things that he has learned in Egypt. And I think it's we need such things. We need coaches to come back, and I think there's a lot of good coaching that is going around within the country, so we can never have enough, and we need more South African coaches to be doing those type of platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's had, like you said, he's had a great experience.
Yeah.
Whatever happens,
bruh, he won the Champions League.
Ah, come on, bro.
Really.
He shouldn't have an issue finding a team in the PSL, that's for sure. It's just where that job is. There's quite a few opportunities. Speaking of opportunities in the PSL, it's just quickly touch on the Gavin Hunt debacle. Chipper United have explained why head coach Gavin Hunt has been suspended pending an investigation, with the club confirming a player as his interim replacement. The four-time league winner had been put on ice following a string of poor results since he took charge of the Chile Boys at the start of the season, and proceeded to name Kurt Lenchies as caretaker coach. And we've spoken about this in the past, Tekle, about ex-players slowly moving into these roles, and obviously I don't think he's going to be there long term, to be honest, but I do think he will be the assistant to the coach that comes in, because Kurt is part of the Chipper family, the Chipper furniture. But this is obviously not lacquer for Gavin Hunt and his team, but nice to see an opportunity for an ex-player that we both played against and so much.
Yeah man, we love Kurt Lenchies in the show. But here's the thing, Sean. As much as it is a strange decision, it's not like we could have anticipated better from Chipa. But what he has done now, to me, it shook me. Mm. I'll tell you why. Kurt Lynch is still registered as a player. He played a couple of games this season, right? Mm-hmm. And then you put him in charge now as an interim coach. Now Kurt Lynch needs to put on the lineup. He needs to have a conversation with the players and with a different tone on a different level in the dressing room at training. So now you saying to the players to look at Kurt Lynch differently, right? By putting him in charge in that position.
Yeah.
So now what happens if the results are not coming? When you fire Kurt Lynch, were you firing him as an interim coach or as a player?
Yeah.
Because Chipa fires people. It's the first time that he's actually suspended. If I'm wrong, please, I stand correct. I don't know how, because now it puts Kurt Lynch in a different position. Unless Kurt Lynch now decide like this is the type of place where he wants to be in the coaching department, and then he doesn't play anymore because of, if anything happens, no matter what happens, let's say the good results are coming in, whatever the case might be, and then Chipa decides to find a coach, and then the coach comes in, then Kurt Lynch go back to being a player because he's still registered as a player, sure. Right? And then how other players that he wasn't playing, how are they going to look at him? Imagine you show
bro. Yeah.
Exactly, bro. Like you're putting unless Kurt Lynch decide that, okay, since now I've been in this space, now I've been exposed to the space, I might as well stay here and find my way in. Then that's better, because when you come back still, you'd want players to change and look at you now as one of them in the dressing room. And it becomes very, very difficult, especially when the results are not coming, because you'll be shouting, you'll be doing all this type of stuff, you'll be changing players, and there's players that you're not gonna play. Mm. And then they're gonna take it personally, because now you're back, now you're in a changing room, you're one of them.
And you've got to separate now your feelings, right?
So exactly,
this is,
my
this
brah.
Is business, bro. This is business now. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy, but we've seen this trend coming through, and we with Gavin Hunt, I think we saw it coming. Because of the results as well, and look, man, Chip is not performing well. They're not doing well. It's the story of every season, and he still continues doing what he does. And I think if you keep doing the same things over and over again, you can't be expecting results. We know that. Mm. And look, I think it's high time that he invests in the guys that are actually younger. Maybe you still have Dentley there. They can come back and help Kurt Lynch is there. And you grow that position. You because now you're looking at, there's a rumor that the former coach might be coming back. So all these coaches that actually coach Chipa, they're like, with due respect, they're like tea bags. They use you and then they throw you away. Then they reuse you when they need you again.
So just explain that to me. You're obviously talking about Herich. And I don't understand. This would probably be that I can remember his fifth time or sixth time that he's been called back and fired.
Exactly.
I don't understand it.
Bruh, like, but also is it because we have shortage of coaches in the country, or the coaches are very insecure with their knowledge? They think they don't deserve better. I don't understand that. Do we get fired, you come back again, you get fired, you come back again? I really don't. And this is Coach Harry, he coached me. Yeah, I know his style of coaching. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a very, very. He's always in. He's a great guy. But yeah. For me, is I wouldn't want to be a teabag. Yes, the coaching job is never secured. You can get fired anytime, especially when the results are not coming. Yes. But I'm saying, how would you learn by keep going to the same people? You have a girlfriend, mate, bruh. She's cheating on you.
Yeah.
You break up. You go. She calls you again. You go back again. She cheats on you. You go. I mean, for how long?
So in essence, things don't change if things don't change.
Basically, sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? If you're going to keep repeating, doing the same
exactly.
Like,
bro.
Anyway, I mean, we love talking about Chipper because they're obviously our favorite team on the show. And,
team on the show.
But look, kudos to Kurt. Fingers crossed it all works out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I do feel, though, they need a coach with some serious experience, which there are around. We've mentioned a few
and Sean, sometimes let me tell you, and Sean, here's the thing as well, you know, all these coaches when they started, they didn't have any experience before. they started like Kurt Lynch is how he starts as well. Mm. Probably maybe being an assistant, whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is none of them started with the experience. Yes. And maybe now with Chipper, maybe they actually need somebody that knows how it feels to be a Chipper player. You know, how it feels to always fighting relegation. Maybe Kurt Lynch might come in and have a different tone, and he might be well respected in the dressing room. Because also the thing is, what happens on the pitch, you know, it's a true reflection of what's happening in the dressing room. Because sometimes what we say in the dressing room affects how we play on the game. And sometimes the good things that we say in the dressing room display very well on the game. So maybe Kurt Lynch might turn things around. Maybe he might be the answer to this. But the question is, will he be given an opportunity? Because you can't judge a coach on 3 games. You can't judge a player on 3 games. You know what I'm saying? But also they're in a very, very difficult situation where they know how it feels to be playing playoffs, when they know how it feels to be on the bottom of the log. They know how it feels actually to season in, season out, fighting relegation. And they know the importance of their survival within their community as well. So the question is, I feel sorry for Chipper because he's in a very difficult situation, but I strongly believe that Chipper needs to look outside the box, get a coach that is going to be a true reflection of how you want your team to play. Because we knew exactly what's going to happen with Gavin Hunt going there. He's got a different style of play and a lot of Chipper players that are there. They're ball playing players. So it's going to be very, very difficult to change them around. So just hope that Kurt Lynch just turns things around.
Yeah, agreed. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on that one for sure. From there, we move on to place your bets, where I usually get everything right as usual. Big game coming up for Pirates. Arrows versus Pirates. I think that is actually away for Pirates in Durban. We've spoken about how difficult a game that is. A must win for Pirates. Taker, how do you see that one going?
Look, I think after what happened with Pirates, I think they that break, the international break, could have done them good in terms of rectifying their defense. Because I think against Chiefs, they played really, really well.
They did.
Look, it's going to be a tough one against Arrows, but it's a victory that they need to bring back that confidence. And I hope, you know, with that game against Kaizer Chiefs, a lot of players learned. And we move on. I think it's a victory that is needed from London Pirates, but it's going to be tough.
I agree. Cape Town City. This is the game of the weekend for me. Cape Town City versus Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yes, I'll be there. I'm going to be there, my brother.
Is this in Cape Town?
Yeah, it's in Cape Town.
Oh, let's try and meet for coffee, bro.
Yes, sir.
This is a biggie. It's a goodie. I still feel Sundowns are. Especially with the pitch, like where they're going to be playing at Cape Town Stadium, how they love to push the ball around. I think this might suit Sundowns.
I think it's going to suit both teams, actually. Mm. I love this fixture because we actually see the true essence of two footballing teams that really, really, really like to play and that really like to attack. Mm. So it's going to be a very, very interesting game. And also looking at how Mashego played in the national team, coming back to Cape Town City with that energy going forward. So it's going to be very interesting game. So I just hope there's going to be a game that is goals that are involved. Mm. But to be honest with you, I think right now it's no longer at the stage of who will beat Mamelodi Sundowns. The question is who will score against Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yes, it's just about so many clean sheets, right?
Yeah, man. So I think it's going to be very interesting for the fans as well.
And result, your side, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a 1-0 for Sundowns, yeah.
Okay. I'm going for an entertaining 2-2 draw. I'm going against all odds here.
Aha.
And I think it's going to be an absolute cracker of a game. So looking forward to watching that one.
Yes.
Stellenbosch versus AmaZulu. Both teams doing well. Stellenbosch, obviously, the surprise pick this season at the moment. Obviously, that can change overnight, as we know, the PSL. How do you see this one faring, Teko?
Where's the game played?
I have it down here, as in Cape Town as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a draw for me.
Yes.
That's a 1-1 draw. Because I think it's going to be more interesting on the bench because with Bailey and Baka, it's always interesting on the bench. But I think it's a game that also AmaZulu wants to come back and be the forceful team that it was last season.
Yeah.
And they're playing against an informed team, which is Stellies. So it's going to be very difficult. So I see a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a 1-1 draw. I think Sage Stevens and goals for Stellenbosch has been astronomical.
No, yeah, man.
He's finally got his chance and he's taken it with both hands. Excuse me, but he's
bruh.
You played with him at Cape Town City.
He's a
good boy and he's a very, very good goalkeeper. So
yeah, you're
going for a 1-1 draw. You're going for a 2-2 draw. Aiden, just make notes of those results, please, buddy. Righty, let's move on to this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week in 2012, Zlatan Ibrahimovic helped himself to 4 goals against England, sealing his legendary performance with a 35-yard bicycle kick, scoring one of the greatest goals of all times. I can remember that. Ridiculous. Cannot believe that was 9 years ago. On the 23rd of November 2002, former Barcelona hero Luis Figo returned to Camp Nou for only the second time since his controversial move to Real Madrid 2 years earlier. It did not go well for him though. When Figo returned to Camp Nou in his first season with Real Madrid, he was subjected to taunts and jeers, but that was nothing compared to his appearance in 2002. By then, he had won La Liga and the Champions League with his new club, intensifying the state of the rivalry. By the time he prepared to take the late corner, emotions had risen to the point where people in the stands were throwing things at him, including plastic bottles, cans, and lighters. Someone even threw the head of a piglet and one of a rooster. Unbelievable. And on the 24th of November 2010, Ajax striker Luis Suarez received a 7-match ban for biting PSV's Otman Bakal. This was one of the first of his snacking problem, with other bites coming in 2013 when the Uruguayan bit Chelsea defender Ivanovic, and then again in 2014 when Suarez bit Italian defender Giorgio Chiellini. 4 years, 3 teams, 3 bites, and 3 suspensions. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I remember all those quite... Well, wasn't one in the World Cup as well? Was it all in the league?
Yeah, there was one in the World Cup, but I think he came into the World Cup, especially in 2010, having that, biting thing in him.
Yeah,
And also he I think there was a controversial penalty. You remember when he blocked the goal with his hand against Ghana? So that's...
Yes, and you saw him on the side just like sniggering.
Yeah, but it all changed. When he joined Barcelona, he slowed down a bit because I think Barcelona is more about the reputation and the image of the club. So he focused on scoring goals, but he was less and less in controversial issues. But yeah, that's Luis Suarez for you.
He slowed down on the biting.
Yeah, he did, actually. maybe in the 5 years or whatever years that he spent at Barcelona, maybe there was one incident where he actually, you know, was... Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Take it from there, bud. We move on to the car. Boom. And this week, we look at the new Hyundai Kona 1.6 Turbo. Hyundai have been on an SUV model assault within the local market, introducing several new and updated models during 2021, one of which is the updated Kona, the brand's compact crossover for the style-conscious among us. The Kona's strong attribute has been its styling, striking a balance between the rugged and sporty in the crossover space, a theme continued by the updated version, which now looks even more radical than before. The price for the model tested is 499,000, certainly not cheap, and considering the fact that products such as the new Toyota Corolla Cross, the Kia Seltos, and the Mazda CX-30, just to name a few, come in at the same price, I'm not a massive fan of this. Jakes, I give it a 7 out of 10, but I do like Hyundai in general. I just think it's very, very, very overpriced for what you get, in my expert opinion, of course.
Yeah.
Next, we obviously need a bit of motivation in life, Teko. And is it yours or my turn?
It's my turn, Baba.
There we go, my boy. Yeah, what have we got?
Here's the guy that comes back to Barcelona. Very controversial wages or salary. I think he's one of the most decorated players. He's won more trophies than any player in the world. This is Danny Alves. So he says, this is a guy who was wearing tuxedo with flip-flops, man, bruh. So he says, you saw that. And even when you first signed in the team, he was wearing flip-flops. So I think it's one of those superstition things because Brazilians are superstitions. It's crazy. Yeah. So he says, I see a lot wanting to be, but very few pay the price. If life was easy, we wouldn't be born crying. But since it's fair, I keep working. And this is the guy that comes back into the Barcelona team. He's been given the iconic number and he wants to play in the World Cup at the age he's in. I mean, it's crazy for me to see him coming back and influencing the team that he's going to. And I think he's crazy. And I love crazy people with characters that played football. And I think it's one of the guys that I actually admire.
Yeah, thanks, Teko. It was beautiful, yeah. Man. And one legend to another, I guess. And that is how we end or wrap up episode number 95 of The Car Wash. Can you believe it? Whether you have been listening on SL Podcasts at 7 today, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or MyPK 96.7 Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts, and of course, my very good friend, Mr. Teko Madise. Thank you, bud. We will see you same time, same place next week in Kotsekapuru. Peace.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the Car Wash on the SL Podcast. Sizohlangana khona.